Hey, hey, hey. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 6, shall we? Luke chapter 6. Thanks, Val. You know, I saw a little thing somebody was talking about, the 10 states that had the least amount of, believers. And I don't know how they gauged all this, but Rhode Island thankfully wasn't in the top 10, but pretty much all of New England, the rest of New England was in the top 10. We live in a tough area for faith. We really do. And so just the fact that you're here and that you're trying to follow the Lord, that's super blessing. So Patrick talked last week about... That was interesting. He talked about, the difference between the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. Y'all remember that? I wasn't here, but I watched it, and that was pretty interesting. That, you know, it's like, did Jesus go to one place and then he went to another place and he, had a similar message in a different place? We're not totally sure about that, but the thing is that, you know, he talked about these beatitudes and the blessings, right? And that's what the Beatitudes are, and the blessings. But you know, they start off and as Patrick pointed this out, the blessing of knowing, you know, our need, and the first thing being our spiritual poverty, that you know, we fall on our knees and we surrender to Him. This is where the blessings are, right? I've heard it said, you know, that the way up is what? Down and for to humble ourselves. That's where the blessings really are. To hunger and thirst for righteousness, to weep over our sin and our failures. And that repentance brings joy. To suffer for the name. And those were contrasted with the four things that the world counts as blessings. You know, to be rich, to be well-fed, to be laughing, to be spoken well of. Those are the things that the world counts as blessing, but Jesus looks at things and God, you know, tells us in His Word that things are very different from what the world tells us. So who are we going to listen to, right? Is that a question? I didn't hear any answers. Who are we going to listen to? So today we have We carry on from there. We have the next section. It's kind of a tough one, I think. And when I first looked at it and first started to think about it, like, is this possible? Is this even possible, or is this impossible to love your enemies? Let's read verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Like, just stop right there. Like, are you serious? That's what Jesus is telling His disciples that they're supposed to do? David Guzik said it's a shockingly simple command, but a difficult one to obey. I don't know about you, but you know, there are enemies in this life, in this world, and they're not always, it's not like you feel like you want to love them. It's not what naturally and normally comes out of you, is it? Oh, maybe none of you ever have any enemies. I'm sorry, I'm probably the only one that has somebody that just does not like you, that you do not get along with. There's enemies in this world. Pastor Chuck said this. He said, now suddenly Jesus is giving us a bunch of impossible commands. He says, I'm ready to argue. Lord, how can I? I don't want to. And we can't. But my part is to be willing to obey, not to argue with Him, but just be willing to obey, and the Lord will give the capacity and the power to obey. That's true about so many, many things, what Jesus asks us to do, that we don't have it in and of ourselves, but But we need to pray and ask Him for the strength and the power to do what is right. So first, I think we have to agree that we will have enemies in this life. Those that hate us, those that curse us, those that mistreat us, that it's just part of life. We're not going to get along with everybody and anybody that we face in this world. It's just not going to happen. Maybe you're in a place where, you know, everything is going great. But maybe you're in a place where, you know, there are people that you work with, people that you maybe live with, that you're just not getting along with. Maybe they're even yelling at you. I was in a situation recently where people were just flat out yelling at me. And one of them said, "Let's step outside." I'm not making this up. "Let's step outside." Now, I know I look pretty buff and everything, but I just turned away, just kind of laughed it off. I still laugh about it because, like, are you kidding me? Now, this person, I'm not telling you anything about who these people are, but this person, he had a little trouble, like, getting around, and I think about this afterward. You know, well, if I just, let's go do it. I could just run around him and then just, you know, never mind, forget it. Sometimes we have people that just, you know, they hate us. They don't like us. They don't, you know, they would do better off without us, right? And what does Jesus say to do with people like that? He says to love them, to do good to them, to bless them, to pray for them. I mean, I remember there was a guy I worked for years ago, and you know, I wanted to, you know, change my hours and go to, like, part-time, and you know, he said to me, "You know what, we don't do part-time here." And I don't know, I just felt, I was so angry. And I was just convicted through that. And it wasn't like he was my enemy, but he was kind of my enemy because he wasn't doing what I thought should be done. And so God just really convicted me to start praying for him. And when I started praying for him, he didn't change, but I changed. And my heart just, you know, got soft, but I was in a bad place before that. And to make a long story short, I realized I was supposed to quit. And then they called me back and said, "Can you come and work part-time for us?" Are you serious? I mean, but, you know, I had to go through this whole thing. But, you know, the people that, you know, we're having trouble with, do we do what Jesus says? Now, like I said, it's an impossible thing, but having this willingness to obey, the willingness to do what Jesus has to do, that the Lord will give us the capacity and the power to obey. He'll help us to actually do what He wants us to do. He doesn't ask us to do something and say, "Well, I know you can do it." He says, most of the time, it's, "I know you can't do it, but I will help you do it. I will do it through you and in you." Maybe you have someone you're thinking of right now. I don't know. What can you do good to them? How could you actually love them and think about them more than yourself? How could you actually bless them? And sometimes I think it starts with us just beginning to pray for them. And maybe we start to pray for them with, like, you know, our teeth are, you know, gritted, you know. "I got to pray for that person," kind of thing, you know. But sometimes that's where it starts. And then the Lord can start to work in us. Someone said this, and as I've already been saying, it's not done naturally, but it requires supernatural enabling, and it's a proof of our relationship to God. It's a proof of our relationship to God. Look at verse 29. He says, "If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. This idea of like, you know, when someone strikes you, what's the normal, natural thing to do?
Strike back.
Exactly. Retaliate. Go for it. Right? But he's saying that, hey, this isn't what I'm saying here to do. Warren Wiersbe said, if we retaliate, we're only living on their low level. But if we love them and do good to them and bless them and pray for them, then we rise to a higher level and glorify the Lord. You know, Jesus comes out by how our response is. Are we just on that human level where, you know, you get me, I'm going to get you? If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. What? Well, I don't even know what a tunic is, but, you know, that's besides. I think it's a different kind of a coat thing, right? It's a different layer. Anyways, how in the world are you going to do that? God help us to do that. I'm going to grab it back. Hey, what are you doing? Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, there are times when you need to do this and when you need to do that. Yes, there are times that, but he's talking about an attitude of love, that we are to be people of the cross and people of love. And this is the attitude of hearts, where we're actually loving and thinking about the other person. Why did they steal your cloak? What's going on in their life? That's what love is, thinking about the other person, right? Unselfish love. Verse 30, he says, give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Give to everyone who asks you. Wow. David Guzik, again, he calls it sacrificial giving in love. Y'all feeling this? Verse 31, in the middle of all of this, we have what? The golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do to others as you would have them to do. I think our normal response, our normal, you know, way of doing things is this. Do unto others what? As they do unto you, or before they do unto you. Isn't that how, that's, you know, hey, you got to fight for everything. You got to fight for what's right. You got to do what you need to do to get by in this world. But Jesus is saying, listen, I show you another way. And Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians 13. He says, but I show you a new way, a different way. Not the way of the world. We're not supposed to be people of the world. We're supposed to be people of the cross. Right? Verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even, quote unquote, sinners love those who love them. Now, in this particular section, when he talks about sinners, he's not talking, you know, saying that we're not sinners, because truthfully, we're all sinners. But he's talking about unbelievers, right? We're all sinners. But if you love those who love you, that, you know, what? That's easy, right? It's easy to do something good for somebody who's doing something good for you. But when they're doing the opposite, it's not so easy, is it? Is this challenging anybody?
Yes.
Thank you. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners or unbelievers do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. What good is it if we're going to be just like everybody else? And, you know, only those who help us, only those who are good to us. Back in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 15, it says this, if anyone is poor among you, among your fellow Israelites, and in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. This is an attitude found in the Old Testament here in Deuteronomy. Jesus is saying the same kind of thing here. He says, don't be hard-hearted or tight-fisted. But I worked hard for that. And he's saying, you know, be open-handed and freely lend whatever they need to give generously. Don't have a grudging heart. He says it'll come back to you. The Lord will bless you. I know it's hard. You know, people say, well, you know, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that or whatever? And maybe some of them, they're just, you know, they're just lazy. They don't work. They don't whatever. But we don't know all the situation. We don't know their hearts. We don't know everything about them. But we should be different than the world. The world would say, you know what? Go get a job, bro. But we're called to be different from the world. This is challenging, right? Verse 35, he says, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. I want you to turn back to me with me to Matthew chapter 5. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5, if you would, please. This is the... Matthew chapter 5 is part of what? The Sermon on the Mount, right? And... but Jesus here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, he says this, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That means, you know, whatever you get, then you give that back, and if, you know, that's the way it is. But jump down to verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Again, he's quoting from the Old Testament here. But he's saying, verse 44, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is kind of a change, isn't it? That Jesus is bringing. He's saying, this is, there's something we're going to do here, and this is what we're going to do. You know, the way has always been, you know, you just give back, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and love your enemy, excuse me, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But he says, you know what? This is what I'm calling you to do now. Turn back to Luke chapter 6 and the last part of verse 39. He said it. Hold on. He said it there, and I'll find it. I'm on the wrong page, that's why. What is going on here? 35, okay. I wrote it down wrong. He says, because He is kind. He says, then you will be sons of the Most High, because He, that is the Most High God, is kind to the ungrateful than the wicked. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. You see, so we, as sons of the Most High God, daughters of the Most High God, that's how He is, and so we're called to be like Him. We're called to follow in His steps, right? And what did He do? He loved people. He loved those who hated Him. You and I would not be here today if he had said, you know what, forget them. But you and I are here because He loved us. Even when we hated Him, the Bible talks about that as well. 1 Peter said this, He said, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Sometimes it's suffering. Sometimes it's very difficult, hard to love our enemies, to love those who hate us. But that's what He did. What did He say on the cross? She's on fire today, this one. I tell you what, she's got it all. Did you see my notes? He said that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were crucifying Him. Talk about an enemy. They were crucifying Him, and He said, forgive them. The Scripture tells us, while we were yet sinners, unbelievers, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. So He says, be merciful. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. What's the definition of mercy? Not getting what we deserve. The people that hate you, they don't deserve mercy, right? But that's what mercy is, not giving them what they deserve. Grace is giving. Grace is like the opposite of that, getting what we don't deserve. To show mercy to others is to be like Him, to be like our great and awesome God. Since God does good and loving things even for those who hate Him, we who are God's children and citizens in His kingdom are to do likewise. It just gets better, doesn't it? But the point of all this is what Jesus is saying, what God's Word tells us, that it will come back to us. And that love breaks down walls, and doing good and blessing others and praying for others, even when they are, you know, totally against us and negative against us, it will come back to us. We will be blessed by it. This is God's call, God's standard. I want to close in, let's turn to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. Romans chapter 12. And then we're going to have communion together. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He's quoting from the Old Testament again here. Now, I don't think that, you know, Jesus was saying, you know, that we should just kind of like this idea of heaping burning coals on their heads, you know, when we're trying to do good to somebody and loving somebody, and we're just like, we're seeing that in our head, you know, this, we're just putting burning coals on their heads or not. But Paul quoting this passage, he's saying this is what happens, that God's going to take care of it. God is going to work it out. God will repay. We have to trust him. But Jesus is telling us is that, you know, it will come back to us, this love that we give out, this blessing, the prayer and whatever, it will come back to us. And I know that that is true. I've experienced it in my life over and over again. And when I was in a certain place, but I began to pray, began to seek to do what God would want me to do, things turn around. Things change. Don't take revenge. Don't repay evil for evil. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Interesting thing about this in the next two chapters, and for those of you who are still wondering about, well, don't I ever need to, you know, go to the court? Don't I ever need to do any things? In chapters 13 and 14, there's still a place for law, and there is still a place for punishment, and God has, you know, God has worked all this out. But Jesus is kind of getting to the heart of who we are as human beings, as people. How do we deal with people? How do we deal with those that are against us, that hate us, that will seek to destroy us? Because what I have found, and as I've described it, it affects us. When we start to be just like them, we have those attitudes and those feelings and that, we become just like them. We're no different. But God's calling us to be different. I always put these two passages together in my mind. John chapter 15, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what he said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And then Paul says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The weapon of love, not human love, but supernatural love. Anyone can love his friends, but it takes supernatural power to love one's enemies. And it is the love or agape of the New Testament. And such behavior is distinctly Christian and marks out those who are the sons of the Most High. And they manifest the family likeness, and we show that we have been born of God. That's the family likeness of God, is that we would be people of love, people of agape, and the love that we receive, that supernatural love from God. All I can say is God help us. God help us. Maybe you're not in a trial now, but you know, I've heard it said, you may not be in one now, but you will be. You may not be facing any kind of people who are angry with you right now, but you probably will be in the future. So may the Holy Spirit bring these words back to you. Love your enemy. Do good to them. Bless them. And pray for them. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we look at these words, this passage, and we say, I just can't. If anything, I want to get back at my enemies. If anything, I want to destroy them. I want to have revenge. But you're calling me to be different, calling me to be a servant. and as a child of the Most High God, to love just like you loved. Jesus, I pray for that supernatural strength, the power of your Holy Spirit to do what you called me to do, each one of us to do. We thank you, Jesus, you hear our cry. Thank you, Jesus, you love us. You know everything about our situations, our lives, and what we are facing even today, even now. Be with us and help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.